report the presentation slide with the review to the portfolio committee. Slide by please. Alright, yeah, just for introduction, my name is Solichian, senior manager responsible for the Polydor Department of Technical Reference at Port Mali, Gamin. He's also a senior manager for the I think in front of us here, we will just touch on certain sections as our indicate. If we can go to page number 3. Page number 3 is the beginning of the presentation slide. The first section there is our reputation services for the general. As you know, that shares our institution. We agreed to strengthen our country's democracy by integrating oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through our audit, thereby building public confidence. So, next section is in our role as far as the feasible our process is concerned. Our role as Auditor General is to just reflect on the audit work that we perform. The portfolio committee in oversight role, also in assessing the performance of the entity, taking into consideration the objectives of the portfolio committee to produce the data for us. We also provide the portfolio committee with applicable information and guidance of the defense and internal veterans, so the 1516 audit outcome, so that the portfolio committee can ensure effective oversight, also to enable oversight to focus on areas that we need to cover. I'm just going to touch on the first section of the presentation, and Bali is going to take us through the detailed audit outcomes for the 15th financial year. And next page number 4, is just the areas in which auditors generally focus in order to produce our audit outcome. Firstly, we examine the area under the third presentation of the financial statement, where we say whether the financial statement has been presented or not. The next area is on the predetermined public. We report whether the reported performance information is useful and also whether it is reliable. The last part that we present, we examine, is on the compliance with the laws and regulations, KFMA and other administrative areas. Okay, next page. Next page is just the explanation of the different audit opinion that we are expressing. So, firstly, you can see that we've got an unqualified audit opinion with no findings, commonly known as skin audit. So in this area, as I've mentioned, that is we examine the financial statement, the compliance laws and regulations, also the financial objectives. Under unqualified opinion with no findings, skin audit, meaningly here we're saying there are no issues, material issues, under the presentation of the financial statement. We also picked up that there are no issues under the reported performance and information. Also, there are no issues under compliance with laws and regulations, meaning we didn't pick up any material findings in those areas. So the next one is financial unqualified opinion is findings. In this area, meaning the financial statement has been presented, but there are findings either under the predetermined objectives, material findings under predetermined objectives, also compliance with the law, but the financial statements are fairly effective. Okay, the next the page is qualified opinion. The other qualified opinion here is whether, in this area we focus whether the financial statement are fairly presented. In this section, it's where your financial statements are not fairly presented, meaning we pick up material misstatements in the financial statement. In other sections of the financial statement. So in that instance, we express a qualified audit opinion. So under adverse opinion, here we say now, those material misstatements that we picked up, they are so pervasive, meaningly each and every section of the financial statement is being materially misstated. So in that instance, we express our adverse opinion. We say the financial statements are pervasively and materially misstated. The stable opinion, as you can see, the guy looks like confused. You see the financial statements are presented, but the supporting documentation are not made available. So the figures that are in the financial statement are not supported by reliable information to support the figures in the financial statement. Okay. The next page is on the key audit outcomes for the 15-16 as reported in our audit report. So I'm going to give over to Mbali to take us through the details of the audit outcomes for the Department of Defense in the meantime.
These are showing the pressure in terms of the movement from the prior year. Also on the PMV, we are saying interventions required in terms of oversight responsibility, effective HR management policies, procedures, and audit action planning. Then on financial assessment and management, also the registration on the PMV, under proper keeping daily and monthly control, regular asset and complete report, and the review and monitoring of compliance with the operation. So those are the key areas that should be focused on. Then moving to the second slide on the assurance provider's level. In ACSA, we look at assurance provided by senior management, accounting officer, and and we call that the first level of assurance. Then the second level goes to internal audit and the audit committee. Then the third level, we assess also the portfolio committee. On the first level of assurance provider, we are saying that out of the five entities, two provided the assurance that is required, and the other two provided some assurance, meaning that it was not sufficient, and then one did not provide the assurance that is required. So the one is the DMV again, and then the two that provided some assurance is the special student account and DOT, and then the two that provided assurance is AMCO and the CCC. Then again, on the accounting officer, accounting authority, the two that provided assurance against AMCO and the CCC, the two with some assurance is the DOT and the SBA, and then the one that did not provide is the DMV. Then on the basic authority, we said that on the three entities, assurance was provided on three, and then some assurance was provided on the two. The two where some assurance was provided would be the DMV and the CCC. Then on the second level of assurance, we're saying that for internal audit, two provided assurance and three provided some assurance. The two with the expected level of assurance provided will be AMCO and the CCC, and then the rest will be some assurance. Then on the audit committee, we're saying here three audit committees provided adequate assurance, and then two provided some assurance. The two will be the DOT and the DMV. Then the last level of assurance, the portfolio committee, we have also indicated the criteria that we use in assessing the portfolio committee, wherein we look at the role of the portfolio committee in terms of providing oversight over the portfolio. So when you look at that criteria, we said that the committee provided the required assurance. Then moving on to the section wherein we give some details in terms of the quality of the annual performance plan and the quality of the annual performance report. So the first of the key is the academic military veterans, wherein we look at two programs, socioeconomic support and economic and stakeholder management. For both programs, we identify material findings in terms of usefulness of information that was in the report and also the reliability of the information included in the report. So for reliability, we are saying that if you not obtain adequate and reliable total information to support the effective process in the performance report. And then on the usefulness, we had some reliability issues whereby targets were not specifically used or indicators not well defined. On the DOT, the three programs were selected. There were no material findings reported in terms of the usefulness, meaning that for the measurability criteria and the relevance, there were no findings reported. And then reliability, there were also no findings reported because management has corrected all the mistakes that were identified within the audit. Then on AMCO, we want to go through the facilitator for audit, there were no material findings reported. And then on the portal control board, also for facilitator people, there were no material findings reported for both usefulness and reliability. to slide number 13. The same was well is written in compliance with legislation and policy of commercial statement. The first slide, number one, talks to the material findings that are reported in terms of compliance. So the first one, the first area is material statements and submitted annual financial statements, meaning that the financial data submitted for auditing and material statements. And the two entities that you see there, which was DOD and DOD, that submitted financial statements with material statements, and then we have to report this non-compliance to their audit report. The next area of non-compliance is the prevention of unauthorized labor and extrajudicial expenditure. Again, both departments, they had compliance findings in terms of they were not able to prevent labor and extrajudicial expenditure. Then the next area is management of procurement and contract management. Again, the two departments had material findings because we identified issues relating to non-compliance with supply chain management. Then lastly, we also reported that the DOT did not comply with the basic requirements in terms of making supply. Then the next area that I want to touch to is on the communication areas over the 3 years. So the indicated area, the two entities that are qualified like the Department of Military Veterans and the Social Defense Account. So the qualification areas for DMV, it was on assets, like I said, the department was not in a position to produce an accurate and complete article data, and therefore we were unable to confirm that nothing of the amount is in the communication. Then on the special defense account, again, the conditions on assets, the financial assets, and operating expenses. But on the SDA, the issue is really the nature of the environment, the needs of the operate, and then to get the qualified aid for those people that are reported for the community environment. Then figure 3, here we're just indicating which entities provided financial statements that had material misstatements and which ones were able to correct those misstatements sufficiently then to be unqualified opinions. So if you look at the comparison, we are saying 50% of the entities submitted financial statements with material misstatements. So after the audit, one entity was able to correct the financial statements and hence to the unqualified report. And the other two remaining that did not correct or submit the information was DMV and the Social Defense Account. And I'm moving over to slide number 14. In this slide, we analyze the duration of the association and the expenditure of the materials for the portfolio. As you can see, we do not have any unauthorized expenditure that was incurred by any of the institutions. Then I'll move to put that in the expenditure. Maybe before I indicate the amount, I just want to give the information of what the total expenditure is. It refers to expenditures incurred in wages that could have been avoided. So it means that there was no basic amount received by the entity. The total initial expenditure incurred by the portfolio for the current year was 8 million, and then the prior year was 8 million, and then the year before was 26 million. So there has been a reduction in terms of the total initial expenditure. And when we analyze data, we say this amount are coming from mainly penalties and interest. If you look at the summary on the right hand side, and then of course the other, which is made up to set amounts, but what amounts you can have in the other reports of the different entities. the total sector for this year was 8 million. Then moving on to the recommendation. Again, just to explain what the recommendation is, it means that we are impaired in contravention of key legislation. It means that although both groups were delivered, that in the procurement processes, the entity contravened of key legislation. So that the prescribed processes were not followed, but the group were delivered, or the services were rendered to the entity. For the current year 2015-16, the whole portfolio impaired irregular expenditure amounting to 916 million. This is an increase compared to the prior year. The prior year was 768 million. The 916 million is mainly made up of non-compliant with procurement services, and also instances when competitive bidding processes were not followed, or competitions were not approved. So, and then there's other instances, like, for instance, in the case of CMB, where financial obligations were not taken for the people of the bank account and the regular fees. So those then, those amounts will add in another piece. Then on the next slide, we also look at the entities to analyze who followed up on this is of life and or people who are coming up with the community. So we're saying that out of the five entities that impacted the industry, four of them have conducted investigations in order for them to be able to implement transformation. So the only one is aware that has not done any investigation as the community. The some of these investigations are still in progress. On the next slide, on slide number 17, here we analyze the root causes, we look at the commitment and our proposed recommendations for the community. So these are now the main root causes that we identify for the government of COVID. The first one is low response by the accounting officer and senior management. So we're saying that senior management and accounting officer are not looking into our recommendations timely to address the audit issues of the project, and hence we find that the report goes against in the current year. Then we're also saying that the main report is that instability or vacancy in the institution. And so now focusing on the people of community who are for the vacancy in the institution. And the third one is saying that lack of consequences for poor performance and conversion, meaning that maybe investigations are not being done, or even if investigations are being done, management is not implementing transformation. And lastly, saying key officials lack appropriate duty. So these are the four main causes that we identified for the findings that we reported. Then the second slide, the one in the middle, we look at the commitments that were done by the minister to address some of the issues in the prior year. So there were two commitments. One was the appointment of a sub-team for the Department of Municipal Governance to assist them. Then the second one was the two more detailed calls in the office. So the first one, the testing was established in September by the minister, so it was there for the whole year. So that one was implemented. Then the second one on the internal audit for Department of Defense, the screening process for the internal audit is not yet. Then on the last column, we propose again some commitments for the portfolio committee to say where should the committee decide in terms of the audit outcome. saying that the portfolio committee should obtain all the action plans and loans of portfolios within the applicable section. Secondly, to monitor consistent management for the department or for owners of properties. The proper plan that on the report.
I think on page 9, where under delivery it says ICT governance is green as good. I don't believe that DOD even has proper ICT systems. They are currently having negotiations with CETA. CETA has complained that they've not been given the ability to actually implement a system that can be effective because of the constraints set by the department itself. So I think this is the wrong report on ICT actually putting into action. So that should be corrected. And I think the whole thing is intervention required for the entire department. Even the senior management, effective leadership, is concerning. So the department effectively is a serious problem. The others, we can see the improvement in areas, and where it's improved or regressed, we can see those performance, but essentially, if we look at the DMV, it's the worst performing department. And also under governance, again, risk management, if assets are not properly controlled, if internal audits are all not in place, how do we determine the risk? Those are the key factors that contribute to strong risk management. Again, I think you've all overstated risk management. But should the intervention required? I think it might be the computer around color code. So DMV should actually get the last one right there. The key is a concern for us because it impacts on the level of service to the medical. And that is always a concern. The department that performs like this undermines service delivery. The other one is that some of these indicators that are explained to us under the chair, if I look at, I'm not going to mention because it's all the things that are quite familiar with that, on page, I'm going up to page 13. I would like, those ones are clear on software and use of assets. We can understand, we have to request that if an SDA does not want to have a meeting with us because the members are not scheduled, and also if it needs to be a closed meeting, we have agreed and conceded that if they want a closed meeting to report it to us, they're welcome to do so. But otherwise, this report should also be discussed at our intelligence committee. They are better and they should know what is going on. At this moment, there is no report back. And of course, the AG doesn't have any access to those things. So I think there must be some understanding or framework there that we can have an understanding of what the SDA is about. And of course, understand the sensitive nature of the projects within the issue. The other one is management of procurement and contracts, point 3, has actually regressed from 20% to 40%. Now, is DOD and DMV, is it a 20-20 split, or is it actually a 30-10 split? What is the split actually? Who is the worst in the procurement process? And I know that we have seen this promise with DMV, and people have to leave the job. There is some consequence management that happens, but we didn't see the full report. Then the other one is on the next page. We again, when we deal with the regular proof of expenditure, I would like to know exactly the figures are given, but it doesn't tell me which principles you have to come from. From this overview, if one is actually using the other, indicating actually which entity specifically is responsible for irregular and process and virtual experience. And of course, what does one mean from the honorable chair about irregular experience to other? I can understand the procurement and others, but if that can be a little bit more defined, what other? I know irregular expenditures when you don't comply with the legislation or procedures, and you spend the money without following that proper procedure, and they would have to be condoned afterwards, and somebody has to sign the book. But what are the other? And the other amounts to 106 million and 3 million. Of course, compliance with procurement, that's very specific, and I think we will probably delve into that. So I'd like this very specific for others important to know which entities are the culprits. And of course, as part of the audit plan, that those things be addressed within the audit flow specifically to those entities or to the top. Otherwise, I think there's been the other one that's been improvement. We appreciate all of that. And also the report by the Chairman on Strategy, never to place with our committee. I see references made by the AG's office. A task team will be established in this year, ministerial task team for the turnaround strategy. And the note at the bottom says the ministry chairman some of the commitments that were made were this. Some of the commitments. Were this strategy actually executed? Because we are not listening to the schedule on our committee agenda. Even the last one I can find.
Thank you.
option is to start a vaccine. So we don't think that this talk here because it is not a big option. I'm not sure if it's not a big option. I know that here we just the talk to the point. I think we're going to be able to do it.
And there was just a follow-up question on the issue, and I think that there was actually four of our own for the four of the public members, and we need to say that the aging takes the framework, which cannot actually be included.
If you think to respond to that question, you have to realize that the committee on biology is a public health problem in terms of the problem, because our existing standards require us to get moving to the problem before we can see the transfer of our own health. And this is for us, we are not able to do that because of the environment. So what has happened is that the other business we can actually have been conducted today for the past year, where we are also in the organization because of the process. And we don't think to use it for part of the project, but in the looking at the other countries to see how they report on this kind of thing about the weather and things in all. So the report, so either draft report to report to time, we will go to the test at various levels, and then a decision will be made to say what should happen with the president of time in the last range.
What are the conditions and what can we do to decide about the legislation and the
Then there was a question on the fleet in terms of the compliance, making a certain contract with the 20% with entities. It is the entity only because the thing is one out of the five entities, so 20% of the reported in the, and then currently it's 40% because it's two of the five entities that are using anything to do with it. On the slide number 14, the question on the irregular to say what makes up the ALGA and also the NDSP between the entities. I can briefly indicate which entities intend to utilize this is obviously building the upcoming transition. The Department of Defense for the current year, the total irregular interest was 231.8 million, and it diminished 26 in the end of the report. The Department of Military Reference, it was 123.6 million, it closed in note 21 for the current transition. Then ANCO, it was 13.2 million, in note 18 to the upcoming transition. And the total defense account is 108.1 million in note 23 for the financial. And then the total was 47,000. And in terms of future financial expenditure, for defense, it was 7.1 million. It goes in note 27 to the financial statement. The GMB 811,000 in note 22 to the financial. I'm told that it is going to be too bad in the space of the system. Then the other, the one that I can refer to is mainly the GMB because they intend most of the employment system, if not all, and because due to non-appearance to the financial situation.
Just a quick follow-up question on the regulations. Is the policy on the regulations for the
business? There is a policy. But subsequent to the audit, I know that the accounting officer has revised the policy from the service.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Between Peter and myself, we'll do a quick overview of the analysis documents that we did for the department and the three entities. I will start. I looked at the, I did an analysis for the Department of Defense 2015-16 annual report, as well as for Arms Corps, and I referred to this document for the slideshow. Should be in the package that you received. Right, this document or the slideshow can be read in conjunction for later. It's also in your packages. You received the full analysis report of the 2015-16 annual report, and these two can be read in conjunction. In fact, if you look on the front page of the slideshows, you'll see a figure there, and those are the key issues that I want to touch on today. I'm not going to go into all the details of the analysis document. I want to highlight 8 key issues that I thought was important to bring up today. And this figure here also corresponds to the figure in the actual document. And the page number you see in this figure refers to the pages in the actual analysis document. So we'll do your reading for easy reference. But according to the eight issues that the Department of Defense that I think is key to note, I'd like to start with the environment. There's some key environments made away from specific programs. If you look at on the next slide in the PowerPoint presentation, substantial environments were made away from key programs. So that's Force Employment, which is program 2, where 196 million rands were taken away from the program. That's 5.16% of the budget was removed from Force Employment. Air Defense, 81 million rands was released from the program, and in maritime defense, 36 million rand was removed from the program. Now, these percentages of money that was removed is all within the allowed 8%, so there's nothing wrong with this. However, if you look at the shift that took place in this, there's two things I would like to highlight. In the air defense program, money was taken away from the transport capability, the air your fighter capability, and your helicopter transport capability, as well as your technical capability. So a lot of funds were taken away from where we see problems. Then, for example, there's a problem of flying cars, which we will get to, but a lot of money was taken away from these key components, key sub-programs in the air defense program. Also, the maritime logistics support capability saw its allocation reduced by 55 million, which is quite a large amount for that sub-program. So when you go through the document as well, you see that the folks need to focus on some of the environments where money was shifted away from key components. On the next slide, we also flying in key hours. Those are also two things, and I think this also relates to what was picked up during the oversight visit to the CDD at the airport base quarters. The flying hours, and this is, members should just note, the flying hours they report on are operational flying hours. It is not training and other transport flying hours, so this is forced employment flying hours. They reported that they flew 4,785 hours out of a planned 6,500 hours. Now this amount of hours that was flown in 2015-16 is even lower than the one in 2014-15 where at least they flew 5,000 hours. So we're seeing a continued decrease in the number of flying hours, which is a concern, and I think that came up during our oversight visit. The pilots are frustrated, the competencies of our pilots becoming compromised. So that is a key issue. Similarly, sea hours, 10,710 sea hours were achieved against a target of 12,000 hours. So our vessels are not going out to the ocean enough, and that compromises your capabilities and your training. So those are another key issue where we can focus on. On the next slide, procurement is another issue that also came up strongly during the recent oversight visit, and it just came out in the AG's report as well that the DOD was added to the non-performance in terms of procurement. And there's two specific issues I'd like to highlight here. First is that the procurement policy has not been updated. So in the annual report, it says the procurement policy is still in the process of being updated, and it's not complete. So that is slow progress in that regard is an hindrance to proper procurement within the department. And also the target for 90-day procurement was not achieved. They achieved 94% out of a target of 100%. So there's some delays in 90-day procurement. So 90 days already a long period for procurement. So we saw the frustration in the units where procurement takes very long. For example, one military hospital, where there's major problems with the procurement process there. On the next slide, the next issue that I would like to highlight was the human resources issue. In the 2015-16 report, the Minister of Defense highlighted human resources renewal as a major as a priority, but major concerns regarding them exist. For example, the force rejuvenation, in terms of this, we saw 2,860 personnel appointed to the Department of Defense, while 3,200 left to the Department of Defense. So there's not enough young blood coming in to rejuvenate the force. And that was mentioned by the Air Force as well, that the average age of our soldiers are way too high. The next one is critical fuel shortages, specifically engineers, air crew, and technical skills. These categories have really high vacancy rates. Engineers have close to 50% vacancy rates, and that really impacts on the capabilities of the airfare. The next issue in terms of human resources was the finalization of the disciplinary hearings. Only 41 cases or disciplinary hearings were completed during the year, but this may relate to the delays in the appointment of military judges, so there's sure to be progress in that regard in the future, but it is an issue to highlight, and perhaps maybe we should just follow up with the delegation coming to make sure that this process is back on track. On the next slide, in terms of expenditure constraints, I won't touch much on this. This was highlighted by the AG as well. Looking at irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which they noted, we've come to 670 million in irregular expenditure and 7.18 million in fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the Department of Defense specifically. One additional thing I'd like to highlight that members should focus on going forward is that the high cost of human resources. 55% of the DOC budget gets spent on personnel costs. And if we look at, for example, what the defense review says, this must come down to 40%. So this is still a very high percentage of the budget being spent on your human resources. So going into the future, we look at that. The next thing I'd like to point out is policy and strategy. Now, it seems from the reading of the annual report, it seems like there's a really slow progress with finalization and updating of a number of policies and strategies. In that list, I noted there's a number of policies and strategies that are being delayed and that were not completed during the year. For example, three that I would like to highlight is the updating of the procurement policy, which was not completed during the year, and that has an impact on the day-to-day running of the Defense Force. The other issue is the cyber warfare strategy, which was not completed. This is important because it comes directly from the NDP. The NDP highlights the cyber warfare strategy as a key feature, and this was not completed. And lastly, the overarching logistical strategy was not completed, and this links to the whole procurement aspect. Finally, the last slide I would just like to touch on, I think this is a broader issue that when members look at the annual report, just going forward, to look at to keep in mind, in the back of your mind, to keep the defense review there. According to the annual report, 2015-16, which is passed now, was the plan for the defense review implementation. However, we have not yet received, we are now halfway through the next financial year, and the defense review implementation plan has not been presented to Parliament. So there seems to be a delay in getting this implementation plan presented to Parliament to give us the to show the members how the department will go forward. So when looking back at 2015-16, keep in mind issues of funding, issues of human resources and force determination, and also issues of procurement policy for the SAE as we move into the defense review implementation. So that slideshow we can read with the analysis on the Department of Defense. I would just like to move on then quickly to 8 issues that was identified within Arms Corps. The slideshow for Arms Corps looks like this. And there's a green figure at the bottom. And again, you can read this in conjunction with the analysis report on the Arms Corps annual report for 2015-16. The 8 issues identified then, you'll see at the bottom of the slide is a figure with 8 issues that identified again. I'd like to start with a key issue, namely the South African Navy, support to the South African Navy by Arms Corps. And this refers specifically to the dockyard. As members might recall, in previous years, we've had major issues with the dockyard. There were big delays, and the Navy complained a lot about the dockyard. And I think the minister took a tremendous for this. The minister actually intervened and said that we should come up with a new plan. This plan has been put in place. And it saw the minister was looking for a harmonious plan between all the role players. So we saw Arms Corps, the NAL, and the South African Navy enter into a partnership where the South African Navy takes sovereign control of the dockyard. Arms Corps is the contracting agent for the dockyard, and the NAL manages and operates the dockyard. So these three entities will work together to manage the dockyard, and hopefully that will serve the better improve the capability of the dockyard to support the Navy. One thing, though, I would like to point out was in 2015-16, the dockyard achieved 97.3% of its milestones for planned maintenance. That is in the annual report of Arms Corps. But if you look at the annual report of the Department of Defense, the Navy pointed out to a limited dockyard capacity. So there's a bit of disparity. The Navy is complaining on the one side that the dockyard is not supporting them sufficiently, and the Arms Corps said we are supporting them. So that's a discrepancy there. On the next slide, again, Arms Corps support to the Navy in terms of acquisition. There's 3 projects that were running to buy new vessels for the Navy. First one was to purchase new tugboats for the Navy. That project has been completed, and I think Arms Corps can be commended for that. However, there's 2 other major projects that are ongoing. The one is the purchase of a new hydrographic vessel. That is still ongoing, and by June 2015, which is more than a year ago, offers have been received, and the Navy is currently in the process of reviewing its budget to determine affordability. Similarly, for Project Biro, which is the purchase of inshore and offshore patrol vessels, which is really necessary for our territorial integrity. These 2 projects seem to be on a hold, and I think members should just ask for follow-up on what's going on with the purchase of new vessels for our Navy. The next issue is an Alcan fund. Alcan fund is a munitions test range of Arms Corps, and it's one of those success stories because this entity, Alcan fund, actually makes a lot of its money from commercial users. So a lot of commercial clients come there and test ammunition, and they make money from this. Around 64% of the income came from private revenue streams. However, this facility, which is in the Northern Cape, falls within the square kilometer array focus area, and the radio frequencies and the ammunition in that area might impact on the square kilometer array. So that might impact on the future use of Arkham Dock. So I think members should ask what is going on as an agreement is reached between Arms Corps and the Department of Science and Technology for the area. The next slide on page 3 there refers to Defense Industrial Participation Agreement, or DIP agreement for short. Currently, Arms Corps is administering 16 DIP agreements. size of munitions to South Africa. The big issue here is that there's one outstanding debt agreement. It stems from the 1999 strategic procurement project. This is with MBDA, which is a European-based missile developer, and this is still outstanding from those days, and they're struggling to find a place where this company can invest its money for fuel training and so forth in South Africa. I think it's valuable if members ask about this, because this comes up in every year's Armscor annual report, and it's not the same as you. The next issue is on the next page, on page 4, refers to loss of revenue. The revenue for Armscor decreased from 1.525 billion to 1.395 billion. So it's just over 100 million rand less revenue collected in this year. The major thing is the reduction in the state allocation to Armscor. Also, a 30 million rand reduction in the sale of goods and services, and that's a worry, because there's been less sale of goods and services for Armscor. So I think members should just look about why were they not able to increase their revenue from the previous year, and how will this impact the future? Will they run out of money and so forth? That is a concern for Armscor. The next slide deals with the audit opinion. I'm not going to touch on that, the ACG touched on that, but it is commendable for Armscor to again achieve a clean audit. That's something really positive. The last slide, as with the previous slideshow, I'd just like to point out the issue of Armscor and the defense review. We're moving into a phase with the defense review implementation plan will be coming to Parliament, and it's most likely that they'll find some way or the other to implement at least milestone one of the defense review. Since Armscor is losing a bit of money and they're not able to expand, the question should be, if we implement milestone one, will Armscor be able to survive financially? What will the financial implications be for Armscor if milestone one is implemented? This is because currently the defense allocation is less and less, so they spend less and less on weaponry and other services, which means Armscor's primary client, which is the bottom of the thing, doesn't spend as much, and Armscor makes less money as well. So if we implement milestone one, what will be the outcome for Armscor as well? So those are the 8 issues for Armscor, and the other slides are the 8 issues for the Department of Defense. And in my opinion, those are key issues that members can focus on, but it stands as part of a broader document with more details and more questions in the document as well. Peter will focus on the Castle Control Board and the Department of Military Veterans in the presentation. Thank you, sir.
Similar to what the young did, I'll briefly go through some of the analysis of the Department of Military Veterans. I hope everybody has been talking to
me. You can just this for later.
So I'll be following the following presentation. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the issues. What I would like to focus on is, for instance, more the questions that I've asked and why I'm asking certain questions. If one looks at the beginning of the strategic priorities of government, like the NDP, the NDF, and the strategic priorities of the department, I think firstly one can commend the department for the educational support they've given, the 32 graduates, the 450 military veterans that have been employed in SASA. So for that we can commend it. But I have a question, for instance, with regards to the rescue of mortgage houses from being repossessed by banks. And the question is, to what amount was that? Is that similar to amount that has been given for a specific house? And secondly, is this in terms of the regulations? If not, shouldn't the regulations then be amended? So just asking the context of these intervention of the imposed houses. The other issue is with regards to the department saying that they themselves are employing 133 military veterans out of 227. And later on they say they have a problem with low morale, with skills, with competencies within the department. And
our understanding is the department is there to facilitate employment, not to employ people. So I'm just asking the question, is this indeed an achievement, or does it relate to the poor performance and the underspending of the department? The next section moves on to the questions on the MTSF, and there they talking about the social relief, people are in distress, they've helped a lot of people there, 1,213, and there are also 10 cases of destitute military veterans that have been assisted, so one can commend them for that. But then there's a question with regards to, for instance, the military veterans that have been placed in temporary shelter under the SRD. Temporary shelter, but what's next? What's going to follow? Are they going to assist them with finding employment and assist them with other benefits? The other issue relates with to the appeals board and the advisory council that are now operational. And I think we should maybe integrate them and ask them, you know, what kind of appeals are there? And I mean, that will relate, for instance, also to issues of the completeness of the database. Also, with regards to the council, you know, what kind of advice and in what context, circumstances do they give advice to the minister, especially given the underperformance and underspending of the department. Another question there with regards to that issue relates to how many military veterans were actually placed in wartime sanitation, Prasa, and death. They just say that they, you know, placed them in employment, but they have no idea of how many people have actually been placed into that. The next issue with regard to the strategic priorities of the department, one will recall that right from the word go, they said they were looking for an independent budget vote, and up to today that hasn't happened. So it means they haven't achieved that specific targets. The next issue relates to the task team, the turnaround task team. This task team has been established on the 1st of September and should come to its end on the 31st of December this year. And I think it, the committee should maybe invite them to come and inform us you know, the kind of work that they've been doing, the challenges that they've been having there, because there's very little reference in the annual report as to what they've actually done. They only refer, for instance, to assisting with filling vacancies. But as we know, even the DG spokes up to today is not full. There is another issue with regards to awarding up 8 farms to military veterans in the Department of Rural Development and Land. So I just want to know what the context of that, that has been happening. The other issue relates to 11 MOUs that have been concluded with government departments and private sector. We are aware which government departments are involved with assisting military veterans, but I think more information may be around the private sector, you know, which MOUs and with which companies have MOUs been concluded in the private sector. The next section of the report deals with the financial statements, and the AG has covered the majority of that. Maybe just two things. The first is the contingency liabilities on this document on page 7, where they say that the claims against the department relates to 205 million rand. And I think maybe the committee should inquire more detail with regards to this, because it's quite a lot of money if one considers the total budget of the department. And how far are these claims actually from being finalized? So that's the one on claims. The next issue that I would like to go to is on page 10 of the long document. And there we talk about the summary of the performance of the department. And as one can see there, the percentage spent by the department is only 59.9%. So around 60% of the budget has been spent. But if one looks at the target that they have 20 targets for the year, and only 50% of those targets were met. In the report, it says that they
one goes and counts, especially in program one administration, what we'll see, they didn't meet 6 of the 10 targets, they only met 5 of the 10 targets. So the overall success rate of the department for the three programs is actually 50%, while they've been using around 60% of the budget. And around that, one can ask, you know, did the taxpayer receive fair value, you know, for that money that has been spent? And then the report just goes further into the various programs, and just saying there that one looked at administration, you see there's about 5 targets that have been met, and then there's discussion around that. Specifically, concerning is, for instance, in the sub-program, strategic planning, policy development, monitoring and evaluation, there one finds an underspending of more than 50%, close to 56%. And that is actually one of the programs that should give guidance and leadership to the department if one thinks about monitoring, evaluation, policy development, strategic planning. And I think that the question should also be put around that. The other question one would like to ask is they are referring there to only 82% of invoices have been paid within 30%. And this is an issue that the committee has previously also addressed the department on because of the impact that it has, you know, on the sustainability of SMEs. The other issue relates with regard to not meeting the training targets. And they told us the last time when we met that they're going to conduct a skills audit. And I do think that maybe we should ask them, you know, once it's done, that they should share that with us. The next issue I'd like to deal with is on page 14 of the long document. And there we refer to the database, and there we see that around 98% of the database, according to them, has been verified. I think there should be a lot of discussion around this, because the database, especially its completeness, not so much the accuracy of those that are on the database, but the completeness of the database is important, because that relates to planning, proper planning, budgeting. And as you give an indication, you know, when they plan to finalize the database, so that you can have a better idea of how many ability visits exactly are being done with what kind of budgets. The next issue there relates to the poor performance on the socioeconomic sub-program, because if one thinks about it, that is actually the main aim of the department, to support ability veterans. And their failure to deliver, for instance, on housing, 150 out of 3,000 houses, that is poor. And if one then looks at the reason that they are giving, challenges with the DHS, human settlement, I don't think that is really substantive enough or good enough the reason that they are giving. I think the meeting that we are planning to have with the department and the other government departments and other entities that support the military veterans, I think at that meeting maybe ask more questions, because I can recall the last time we had a meeting on the 10th of June 2015, many times it was said that these partners or agents were actually not aware of some of the issues, you know, that the Department of Military has. And also, no movement on subsidized public transport. I think it is really an indictment on the department, because we have Praza there, we have AXA there, and SAA there, and there's no progress. And at that meeting, we encourage them, you know, to conclude these things, the SLA and MOUs, and yet there's no movement on that. If one then looks at the next program, that is empowerment of stakeholders, here we can see that this is the poorest performing program, where they've only met about 2 of the 5 targets, while we spent 51% of the budget. One of the issues I would like to raise is the one with regard to the sub-program on provincial offices. And conceding that they will be crucial for actually to deliver benefits to military veterans, I think this issue should also be integrated a lot more. And for instance, asking them, you know, how many provincial offices have been established, how many people have actually been appointed in these various provinces, because as you know, even here in the Western Cape, you know, there's poor performance. People struggle to get hold of military veterans. If we then move over to governance and especially risk management, one will see that they've identified various issues here, and some of these are quite concerning because the first one, for instance, in administration on trade 16, it relates to a lack of adequately skilled and dependable human capital. And I think this issue really needs to be integrated because I believe that some of the reasons for the poor performance and understanding of the department relates to this issue. Again, the inadequate IT infrastructure and the lack of internal IT capacity, also the dependency on the systems of the DoD, I think those are issues that we really need to engage them with. If one looks at some of the issues raised by the audit committee and also the non-reporting, I think it's quite concerning because one will recall that they've been identified 2 years back as the poorest performing department under the MPEC. And they refer to the MPEC here, but only with regards to meetings to review it, but they don't report on how they've actually progressed under MPEC. And given that they had such a poor record, I do think that we should integrate them on the impact and the score they currently have and their plans, obviously, how to improve it. I think the issues raised by the audit committee goes to the core of the problem in the department. As I say, it's about lack of performance, delay in filling critical posts, staff morale, the suboptimal function of internal orbit and weak control, and also significant weaknesses in the IT department. And I think those are some of the issues that we need to engage with. When one looks at the human resources, one issue that draws attention there is the employment equity. And I just ask the question there, you know, do they have an employment equity plan and targets? And if they do, how do they actually comply with that? There's another issue with regards to performance rewards, because 93% of 153 employees have received performance rewards. But if one looks at their performance, one needs to ask the question, but how does the underspending poor performance, what is the relationship, you know, with this performance reward? We're not saying that the people should not be rewarded for the good work that they're doing, but if one looks at the amount of people that have been, the number of people that have received performance awards, the amount of close to 1.4 million rand, which averages around 15,000 rand per employee, I think there is a disjuncture between the two there. And also, more important for me was that if you look at who actually received the performance award, it was 27 out of 28 highly skilled staff, and then also 59 out of 72 highly skilled supervisory staff. So those are people typically, I think, that are mid-level positions. Those are the people that should actually direct and drive the department, and they receive performance bonuses. Yes, we receive the performance. The last issue I'd just like to mention is that they mentioned that no money was spent on consultants. But if one looks at the report on page 92, there's an amount of 1.6 million that has been spent on consultants. So maybe you should just ask them to clarify this. That's with regards to the military business.
What else do you have?
It is the CASO, but I'll be very brief.
Yeah, the CASO custody.
The CASO has a good success story. If one looks at this PowerPoint presentation, they are the highlights. Firstly, order, as we heard from the AG, it was a historic first for the CTB. Their management structure is now fully functional with the CEO and the CFO. They successfully launched the Task of 350 commemoration program. There's a lot of synchronization with the innovation of the daily activities. They've met all the targets. They have a good partnership with the DMV, where there are three significant memorization and training projects that have been completed. When we turn over the next phase, there are just some of the challenges. The first thing is that the target control boards do not control the entire precinct, which complicates the effective management thereof. For the last two years, they've been saying they're going to amend the Task Force Management Act, and that is still a process. It seems to be stuck up with the Department of Defense's legal position. One of the reasons for the low income or the revenue that they provide is the inability of a new restaurant manager to settle rent. And I think maybe we should ask questions around that. Also, the strategic risks and action plans, one will look at what the Department of Defense do and military veterans do. They normally give us a list of the strategic risks and the action plans how to address it. And that is absent here with the CCB. The other thing is the increase in the salary bill without the cost of the increase in the revenue. Here we can see the revenue was about 4.9 million. The income they received and the expenditure was about 7.4 million. And besides, I think it's 1.2 million that has been given by National Treasury from the surplus, the historic surplus. The book still doesn't balance. I think it's about 247 missing that unaccounted for. There's a gap there. And I think we should engage with them. That if they continue using the surplus, we're going to exhaust the surplus very soon. And one understands that their revenue has decreased because there's now renovations and whatever going on at the castle. But still, on the other hand, their selling power has substantially increased. And I think somehow they need to start justifying those expenses and increase the revenue of the castle.
Sort of a working tool to do the oversight. I think we should also on the dashboard put those areas that they performed excellently, because we must also oversight the sustainability. They should be sustained. If we can get that and going forward, then I think that should be the right thing to do. So we can, the sooner we get that,
to Cuba, and then included the Algeria and And the other thing is just the everything that's been brought forward, because the cutoff date for the adoption of the vehicle for us is the 21st.
Could not find any way to assist. So they'll have to do some plans, they must just send some votes to them. And then the matter of the items of adopting the forms will be in fact the next meeting. They should be same items for the next meeting. Remember, we have lost one member of our committee. They are probably missing. It's passed on. Now, the on Friday, we are having a memorial service today. We could not make it now. Members of the committee would like to go. To go and do their last respect to the committee. We should submit your name so the parliament will do some arrangements. So if you go call that we go send the afternoon so that you attend the funeral start at 9 on Friday. Who's taking the name?